Greetings, beautiful ones. I am Ms. BJ Martin, and this is Snails with No Shells. Leave that shell at the door. You see, a lot of us are running around here living in our shells. Some of us are putting muscles on our shells. Some of us are putting makeup on our shells. On this platform, leave that shell at the door. Just be free, be comfortable to be who you are in your own skin. Let's be slugs for a little while. Everyone is welcome to this show. There is no judgment on this platform. We keep it clean and we keep it cool. All right. See you later. As beautiful ones, I am Ms. BJ Martin, and this is Snails with No Shells. Leave that shell at the door. Now, without further ado, I would like to introduce my next guest. This is College Park, Georgia's own rapper, entertainer, businessman, entrepreneur, father, OG, etc., etc., Black Old Sebo.
Greetings, Miss Martin.
Yeah, thank you so much. Thank you for coming on my podcast. I appreciate it.
Say less than less. How you doing this evening?
I am wonderful. How are you?
I can't complain. Took my time out today to sit down with Snails with No Shells.
You feel? Yes. Thank you so much. We appreciate you. Okay, and before we go any further, I would like to dedicate this show to your father, Mr. James Andrews.
Oh, you're so sweet. Rest in peace, Pop.
Yes.
James Franklin Andrews.
Yes. June. All right. Rest well with the ancestors, Mr. Andrews.
Thank you so much.
Yes, you're welcome. All right, so let's get into it. So we know you're College Park, Georgia's own. So the first question I'm going to ask you is, are you a Grady baby?
Well, let's clear some up.
Okay.
Everybody in Atlanta think you're supposed to be tough because you're a Grady baby. Now, my brother a Grady baby, my sister's not, and drum roll, please. No, I'm not a Grady baby. Now here's the thing. The reason I wasn't a Grady baby because at the time, my family, we had good insurance, so I was a Northside baby. So I was born at Northside Hospital. So let's put some respect on Northside Hospital name, because Northside Hospital has delivered a lot of prominent babies in Atlanta, Georgia. How about that?
All right, prominent. All right, so to my understanding, from what I've heard, word on the streets is that if you were not born in Grady, then your parents was bougie.
I mean, if you want to call that. I just said my parents had insurance at the time. My dad was an air traffic controller, so you know, we had a little insurance.
Oh yeah. Y'all sure did. My uncle was an air traffic controller as well. Yep. Awesome. Okay, so if I knew nothing about the ATL or College Park, where would you tell me to go eat? Or where would you recommend that I should go eat?
In the ATL or College Park. Well, ATL, I say Local Green Atlanta. It's a pescatarian restaurant, if I said it right. But seafood and vegans mixed, whatever that is. Mm-hmm. So it's that kind of restaurant. They got good food. They got shrimp burgers. They got kryptonite shakes. They got some good stuff over there. Mm-hmm. College Park. What's the best restaurant we might have? We might have the Tropical Restaurant, the Smoke Room. We got a Chicago restaurant out here too. What's the Chicago place? Just have the good chicken wings. But we got a lot of stuff out here on the south side. Just come down Old National, you'll find a lot of little hidden gems.
Ooh, Old National. You sure will. Old Nat L, that's what they called it.
Miss Martin, have you been to Old National before? You sound like you have.
well, I'm supposed to be pretending like I know nothing about Atlanta, but since you asked me, yes, I have visited Old National many times in my day. That used to be my old stomping ground.
Congratulations.
back in the 90s, 2000, early 2000s.
You've been Southside baptized.
Yes, and actually when I first moved to Georgia, I moved straight to College Park. I stayed in some apartments in College Park off Riverdale Road.
Yeah, that's where all y'all come to land.
Yep, right in 93. Yeah, moved right to College Park. So most people stop in Marietta. They stay up north, though, or Gwinnett or something like that. We came to the dirt. Do you hear me?
I hear you.
Yeah. Okay, so where should I go for entertainment?
In Atlanta?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's plenty of places you go for entertainment in Atlanta. We have the City Winery. You ever been out to the City Winery?
Mm-mm, I haven't.
City Winery. We have the Beltline. The Beltline is a pretty nice place. We have State Farm Arena. Oh, man, we got a lot of comedy theaters. We have Atlanta Comedy. We have Uptown Comedy. There's a lot of places in Atlanta.
Okay.
Gotta get out and enjoy it.
Okay. All right. And I was going to say, next question was, what is Atlanta known for? Like,
big booty hoe!
Oh!
Atlanta is known for... I think Atlanta is known for... To not sound racist, but for black people doing good on their own. If that's a category of such. It's known for, if you come to Atlanta, you can succeed or you can get your business off the ground that you couldn't do at wherever you was at in Wyoming or wherever you was at.
Yeah.
It's also known for, you can come to Atlanta and start over and be who the hell you want to be. We never know who the hell you are.
That's right. No lies told there.
But I got a rule. I says a lot of people come to Atlanta, they stay from 1 to 5 years. After 5 years, if you still here, then you're gonna be here. But in Atlanta will eat you up real quick because a lot of people come here, instead of handling their business, they want to party, entertain, they want to play, mm-hmm. they want to repeat, party, entertain, play, repeat. Then after a while, it catches up with you then. Now you back at your mama house and now you stuck like Chuck. So
mm-hmm.
you got to come to Atlanta and stay focused too. It's fun and games too, but there's a lot of business behind the line too.
Yeah, because you will get caught up, because I know when I first moved down here, it was somewhere to go every day.
I bet.
Every day it was somewhere to go.
It'll slow down now. We a little older now.
Oh, yeah. We're too old for that. Oh, yeah. I did that. Yeah, I'm good. We're good on that. Okay, awesome. All right, now, tell us what it was like growing up in College Park.
Well, to me, College Park, it raised a lot of independent hustlers to me. A lot mm-hmm. of musicians, a lot of just entrepreneurs, a lot of people that stick together, that share knowledge or wealth so the others can make money with the other person, however that may be or whatever you're doing. But College Park is like, it's a home. It's still a home to this day. We all know each other. We all out of town together. It's like a one big family. It's like how New Yorkers do when they come to a city. They all unite. So mm-hmm. you see one College Park, it's another College Park somewhere around, and you already know we all together. So it's still home to me. I still mm-hmm. love College Park. I still do for the community. Banneker High is my high school.
Okay.
Old National Park, Wickamaw Park, Red Oak, Riverdale, Fayette County, all that. Southside, Jonesboro, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and you do some other things too, besides the things that we mentioned, father and businessman and all that. What do you do outside of that?
In what kind of category, baby?
You play sports, right?
Oh yeah, I'm dealing with an injury right now. I play softball for a church league.
Okay.
Church league, we have a 12 team softball league. I play in two leagues. I play one in Fayette County and one in Decatur. And the one in Decatur is an all black league. It's a real, real tough league. The Fayette County is more like community league, but I'm dealing with an injury now because I came in at third base and I slid and I kind of jammed my finger. So, you know, I'm getting a little old. I ain't, you know, my athleticism is still there, but you know, the healing process takes a little longer. Yeah,
you know why the healing process takes longer, because you get older.
No, look, I was coming around third base and I swear I blacked out. I thought it was like 14, 15 feet. I was like, yeah, I just hit my teammates. Get out! I slid and didn't even touch the base. I had to roll and touch the base. I was hurt. Oh, man.
Oh, you're so funny.
Yeah, I'm involved in the community as well. I deal with a lot of little league teams and a lot of people coming to my... And I also have a shop in College Park called the Pop-Up Shop Apparel, which also is... let me get the address. 2459 Roosevelt Highway, College Park, Georgia, Unit B16. It's called Pop-Up Shop Apparel. You can follow us on Instagram at Pop-Up Shop Apparel. And we do a lot of youth from the hood. They come up to our shop. You know, we talk to them and we counsel them. And we got football coaches also in the shop that have brands in the shop. So we deal with the community every day on the South Side.
Awesome. Okay, next question. What did you want to be when you grew up? What did you want to be once you became an adult?
Oh, that's a deep question. You know, I had somebody else interview me and ask me this question, and I gave this answer, and they just looked at me like I was crazy. So I'm going to answer the question, but I'm going to tell the truth. What I wanted to be when I wanted to grow up was a kingpin.
Okay.
I mean, that's what I wanted. At the younger age, that's what I wanted to be. Well, as I got at a certain age, I wanted to be a franchise hotel owner. Well, that's what I'm going to be at the end of the day before it's all over with.
Okay. Okay, I was gonna ask you that question.
So businessman at the end of the day.
Okay. Well, I appreciate your honesty. Like I said, on this show, you know, we leave them shells at the door. You don't need them. You're relaxed, you know, open, you know. So, all right. So, yeah. So, tell us a little more about Black on Sea, because you got all these names. We got Black on Sea Bone, aka Dope Stories Corey, aka Inventory Corey.
Keep going.
Well, that's all I remember.
Black on name. How I got Black on name was like I had wrote a rap, and when I in my rap, it was like so many success stories. It's like the rap basically about how I can't remember the word, but it was like I put so many people on, so many success stories, they should call me Black on C-Bone. And then we was on the bus ride, and Andre 3000 heard the rap, and he was like, that should be your name, because my name was C-Bone at first, just C-Bone. He was like, that should be your name, Black on C-Bone. So from that day forward, I was Black on C-Bone, and it was so crazy. It was way before the Black on wave even hit. Cause my old man was like, maybe you should change the name from Black on. Like, nah, I'm leaving my name. Like, that's my name. That's me. I'm a representative. If it don't work, it just don't work. But I get the point he was making. But I stuck to my beliefs, and you know, so now everything Black on. Black on. So it's like,
yep.
Sometimes you got to stick to your guns, and it pay off.
Okay, so that's the Black.
The name Black on C-Bone.
Okay, so Andre 3000 inspired that name.
I mean, I can say he kind of stamped it or coined it.
Okay.
I ain't gonna say inspired, because he listened to my lyrics, my bars I was spitting.
Okay.
He just took, you know what I'm saying?
Took what you wrote. Okay,
right. He just took something about what I wrote.
All right. I don't want to take nothing from you.
Okay. You know what I'm saying? Let's clear it up. I just want to clear it up.
Man. Okay.
But he did. He did make me see something I didn't see, though. I would say that.
Okay. All right. I like that. Okay. Dope Stories, Corey. That
Dope Story Corey is the entrepreneur with the brand called Dope Stories. Dope Story is a brand. We're not talking about drugs. We're talking about your success stories, your life, your achievement, your accomplishments. What is your story? What kind of story do you have? Your story boring? Is your story fascinating? is your story, this is your story, that, but everybody in the life, in life has a story. So dope story was invented. Every time I read a story on Instagram or some on social media, I didn't have it to put, so I just put like, okay, I like the story, so I just put dope story. And actually, dope stories was invented from a hashtag from me liking people post of the stories that I thought was dope. Mm-hmm. So that's how dope stories got invented, and that's how your man, and my name is Corey, you know, you go by dope story Corey. You did.
Yes, we did. Okay, all right. To inventory Corey.
Now, inventory Corey is the guy that do all the labor himself. Like, it's like an in-house. Like, I do this, I order, I ship, I pick up, and I get up inventory. So inventory is like, meaning I have a lot of stock in the store. So if you come to the store, I have plenty of inventory. So inventory, of course, then, but like merchandise is me while I'm doing my job, or I'm making, or I'm getting a hoodie or a jogging suit made for somebody, I'm inventory, of course.
Okay. All right. So is that it? Is that all the AKs? Because I want to make sure I get them all on my show. Is there any more?
They call me Long Down C-Bone, but that might be on another show.
Oh my God. Y'all.
What's your... Oh, my bad. This is random, this is friendly show. My bad.
Well, I mean, I did say leave your shell at the door, so...
You said know. Many more AKAs. I just said I got a couple of more. Okay. I will not.
We'll talk about that one later on.
Hey, Mr. Anchor, the anchor might get you. You know,
right.
Well, nah, that's you know. Let me see. AKA, don't talk about anchor, black on C-Bone. Oh yeah, I'm the number one pick on your dope boy team too. That would be awesome.
All right.
But we ain't gonna talk about that. But yeah. But I'm sticking with Black on C-Bone, aka Dope Store Core, aka Inventory Crew. That's what we're running with in 2022.
All right. I like it. Okay. So who or what inspired you to become a rapper?
I think what really inspired me, honestly, is that when I was without, I used to be hanging with Outkast every day. And I started listening to their lyrics, and I was listening to certain things, some things they talk about. And I was like, hold on, that's my word. Like, oh, I made that up, or, you know, or this or that, or just watching them, how they move and how they groove, and just like, and then watching the checks they start getting. I think I was heavily influenced by Outkast, to say the least.
Okay. And how old were you when you first, knew, I can rap?
When I first started rapping, I was 21, 22. So we called it. So I was a late rapper.
Yeah.
But these days, 21, 22, you're early rapper. You see what I'm saying? So it's like, it changed. So I was the backpack kid that was walking through rapping. I was like the hustling kid, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And I just picked up the trade, if you must say that.
Okay. Okay, so how did you meet? You said you used to hang around Outkast a lot. How did you meet them?
I went to Banneker High School, and they DJed. Went to Banneker High School, and then Mr. DJ, we grew up together. So they first DJ they had was they DJ, which would be Rico Wade's first cousin, is Mr. DJ. Man, he was close friends.
Mm-hmm.
And growing up in high school, we still are, but, you know, in high school, we was like buddies, you know how I go. So I met. And, then Andre's cousin, Kim and Sean, used to go to Banneker, so I already knew Andre.
Mm-hmm.
And then we all just hooked up and just locked in one day.
Okay.
And the rest is history.
Awesome. I love it. I'm learning a lot. So you were in a group initially. Like, did you start out solo? Did you start out with a group, or how did that?
I was in a group, and we was on Criminal Records. Started
off with Criminal Records. What's the name of the group?
Country. KONKRETE. 2K. Okay. Concrete, which would be the first start I ever had a rap partner. His name was Country CP. But he wanted to go do Fed Time. So when he had to do Fed Time, I had to switch group members, and I added little brother James would be Big Boy's little brother, and my cousin Super Nathaniel, which would be Super Nat. So I added them to the group, and then we got signed to Purple Ribbon. So I was on the Quemini first with the other rapper, and he couldn't make it. So he went to prison. So I filled his position in the group with Nat and Lil James, Super Nate and Lil James. And then we signed with Purple River Records. And okay. We had a couple of songs on Purple River called What's the Smell on Your Shirt? And we had a couple of hits on. We had a couple of songs with Lil John. Lil John put a crunk album out. We had some features on that. We did pretty good. But I don't think we got out for full potential at the deal, but I think we did pretty good.
Do you remember how long was the run for the group?
About 10 years. We had a good run.
That's
a lot of magazines. We did a lot of stuff. We just never put our own album out. And I put a lot of mixed CDs out for the group, but we could never get our own album out. And that's, but we was on all the purple. We was on Purple Ribbon Volume 1, Purple Ribbon Volume 2 CD, but we never got our own compilation out. And I think that was the downfall.
Okay, because I was going to ask you, so what would you, you know, looking back, what would you have done different with...
Been more independent.
Okay.
I would have been more, instead of putting the ball in somebody else's court, I would pick the ball up and start dribbling that motherfucker myself. Which I was doing anyway, but I would have did more, like 100% more. You understand what I'm saying? I would have pressed the gas full throttle. I would have just been playing with doing it. I would have been more of, it got to get done, so let's get it done type of thing.
Okay. So you would have basically just stepped up and just been that leader that you are.
Right, right. Like, either I would have stepped on toes or whatever, I would just really have to do it. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, okay.
I should have done it like that.
Yeah, and then they were your friends, and you were younger.
Right.
I get it. Okay, so I wanted to ask you about Jack the Rapper.
Jack the Rapper.
Yeah, did you ever attend?
I went to one Jack the Rapper on accident.
Okay, what happened?
We were just downtown one day and just ended up down at the Jack the Rapper. So that's how I was like, how I ended up at the first Freaknik on accident. Downtown ride, you just ride up on it, like, oh shit, it's lit over here. What's going on over here?
Right, we're riding the traffic.
That's how I ended up the first Freaknik career.
Down at the AUC.
I was down there with somebody else and didn't know where I was. You know, they probably knew what they were doing, but I didn't know what they were doing. But Jack the Rapper the same way. Probably hanging with some of my big homies. But I never performed or never did anything like that, Jack the Rapper. But it was a big thing back when it came to Atlanta, right?
Yeah, because I remember when I moved here, I want to say that next summer, like in, that might have been 94, no, 93, I think. I hadn't made it here yet. And I think 94, I think they were still doing it. Then they stopped doing it. So I didn't get a chance to go. And I want to say Tupac was at the last one that they had.
Tupac said it all.
Yeah, that was the last one. And so I really wanted to ask you about it because I watch, you know, hip hop shows or whatever on Netflix or whatever.
Now, one thing I can't do, I can't sit here and lie to you about it. I never just been I've been to MTV Awards, I've been to BET Awards. I can tell you about that, but I can't sit here and tell you about Jack the Rapper.
Okay. Yeah, because I was wondering, because I don't ever hear anybody really talk about it. They talk about everything else but Jack the Rapper, so. Okay. So what was, what in the world? You on an airplane? So what was it like being you're a celebrity. You know, we all know Black owned C-Bone. What was it like being a celebrity and having kids?
Oh, that's a good one. You know, with me, when I had kids, when my kids, actually, when my, I think when my success actually started is when I end up having my raising my kids on my own. Not I think, I know. Like, so I just give you an example. Okay. 05, 06, that's when I Kryptonite just started jumping out. And that's when my kids moved in with me permanently by myself. Like me being a single dad.
Oh wow.
So at that time it was like a lot of things I could, I did, I had help with my dad and my stepmom and my mom. A lot of things I did, and I did like travel. I was traveling a lot then, so it was kind of like, it was like, you're going to take on the responsibility, but now here's your time to shine. You get what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Dang.
So I end up having both, actually. But I could have did more if I didn't have my kids at the time. But it actually worked out to the good in working out. So when I had my kids, I was like hands on 24 hours a day. But then actually when Kryptonite dropped, like, okay, now you gotta fly here. You gotta fly here, you gotta go here. Mm-hmm. Now you gotta ask somebody to babysit. Now you don't wanna be a bird. You understand what I'm saying? Now you're the prime parent. But now you ain't at home all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But I saw that. I just brought him out of town with me a lot. Brought my son on the tour bus. So they got to spend time with me.
Wow, that's deep.
Yeah,
it's deep. It's like, it's sometimes kind of like, dang, it's always something. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it's like you have to make, you have to choose, you have to make decisions.
You do.
So where have you been overseas? Like, what's the furthest place you've been?
Hold on one second. Can you hear me?
Oh, yes.
Where have I been overseas? Everywhere.
Everywhere.
Australia might be one of the most beautiful places I've ever been. Mm-hmm. I've been to Germany. I've been to London. London about 10 times. I flew to London one day for 24 hours and came back. Stayed in Trafalgar Square. Flew, did a show and came back. You couldn't tell me I was a rock star. London, Budapest, everywhere. I've been everywhere. I'd have been done with everywhere on the map but Hawaii, and that's where I gotta go next.
Okay, Hawaii, yeah. I would like to go there too. Have you been to Africa?
There too. I'm sorry, Africa. I apologize.
Okay,
Hawaii and Africa.
Okay, so you wanna go to Hawaii and Africa. Okay. So what?
But I have three passports.
You got three passports stamped? Is that what you said?
Yeah, stamped up. Not just stamped up. It's passport terminology.
Oh. Okay. Excuse me. One day I will find out. Oh my gosh. Then I'll show you my passport.
Granted.
You took for granted the traveling, or you broke up for a second? So,
nah. That time I took it for granted, like just like actually being in those places when you're kind of young. Like when I spent a lot of time in Amsterdam, and I took, and that was like to some people that's like, oh, I'm with Amsterdam. To me, like I was in like a month, like 3 weeks. You know what I'm saying? And so it was like.
You like kind of live there.
Yeah, I mean, I don't take it for granted, but it's like, you know, I guess I got used to the traveling, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So,
abroad.
You've been abroad. Yes. You've been abroad.
I've been abroad.
Yes. So after your 10-year run with the group Purple Star All Ribbons, I messed that all up.
Purple Ribbon All Star.
After the 10-year run, what did you do after that?
So that's when the time, about the time Kryptonite started. And actually, after that, I just started doing a lot of things on my own, a lot of solo projects. Ventures. I ended up doing a, I ended up getting on Young Jock's album at the Kryptonite, a song called Dope Boy Magic. And that album went 3 million platinum. I did a lot of little features with a lot of people. So I just kept working, kept doing my thing. Two times when I feel like that it was enough, and I hung up the cleats.
Mm-hmm.
You know how I go.
Yeah, I do. Oh, wow, that's interesting. So, yeah, I was going to ask you, so you've done a lot. Is there anything else that you, you know, would like to do?
Me personally, I think I want an artist. I think I'm going to give me an artist next.
Okay.
I want an artist, but it's like, I'm picky with the artist. I think I want an artist and put all the things that I couldn't do or everything I have learned into the artist, but I want to make sure the person is worthy of the knowledge. But I think I want to put an artist out and see what I can make it do.
Oh, yeah, that's wonderful. I love that. Mm-hmm. I love it. Yeah, pass that knowledge on. That's what we're supposed to be doing, right?
Right. But you don't want to just pass on to somebody just to a brick wall either. So it's like, you got
to... Yeah, because then it's a waste of time then.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, wow. This has been a wonderful conversation. All right. So we're going to wrap it up. Do you have anything you would like to, you know, a message to the audience? Maybe something inspirational, maybe some advice for an inspiring artist, whatever you want to say.
This is your main man, Black on C-Bone. All I want to say is keep your head up, believe in yourself, whatever you got to do. It takes time. Trust the process. Follow me at Dope Story. Follow me at Black on C-Bone, BlackOwnCBone at Instagram. Facebook, Corey Black on C-Bone, and I'll be there. And that's for Dope Store Corey. Yeah.
Okay. Do you have anything coming up? Anything coming up? Any events or anything like that?
Nothing major at this time. Brag about that I can really think about right now. I might.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
I got you, baby. I got you.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Black on C-Bone, for joining my podcast. We love you and we appreciate you.
Thank you, Ms. Martin.
Yes. All right. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for taking the time to listen to my podcast, Snails with No Shells. Before we go, I would like to say this. Just like the sun... you are necessary. Love y'all. Peace.
Peace.